Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is your girl, the priestess, never your mistress, Yannique Taylor. Honey, here's another episode of Conversations with the Priestess. So get your libations and get your ancestors and sit down and have a conversation with your girl. Hey, what's going on, my royal priesthood? I pray that you all are well, and I do apologize if this episode is posted later on Wednesday. Beyond my hands, but thank you all for tuning in to Conversations with the Priestess. I want y'all to do me a favor and hit that follow button, and please leave me a review. Let me know what you think of the podcast and what you think of Diary of a Church Girl. Big shout out to Visible T365, the organization that I am proud to be a part of, where we believe in living in your visible truth 365. If you are a trans person in need of assistance or help and you are in the Philly area, please hit me up. Y'all know where to find me. All of my contact information is below. I'm executive assistant for Visible T365. And if you need assistance, I want to make sure that you all are being helped. Or if you're listening to this podcast, refer people to us that you know are in need. We are looking to help those individuals. And big shout out to the CEO, founder, AJ Scruggs, and for the great work he's doing. You can also find him, my brother Cuban, and my brother Vaughn, doing their show on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Beagle, as well as their podcast on Anchor called Three Guys and a Mic. It is an excellent show. You do not want to miss anything that they're talking about. So the links are posted in the show notes. But let's jump right into some of the heavy topics for this week. The music arena has been in an uproar. And it's a good uproar. And it's this happening in music has just revolutionized the game. I got to give it up for Kendrick Lamar and his album Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. He has a song on there called Auntie Diaries, and it's dealing with him watching two of his relatives transition. And it's a very nuanced conversation. Y'all go to my YouTube channel, Conversations with the Priestess, where I do a review of the song and I talk about the song and my thoughts. Because there are some areas where I too can relate, and being able to look at it from a different lens. I love how Kendrick uses his voice as a cis black het male. However, there are some language things with him using terminology from black queer community and slurs that were used at us. But I want you all to check it out, and I want y'all to hit my mail back up. Talk to Priestess, okay? But in other music news, the icon herself, Janet Jackson, has presented the illustrious Mary J. Blige with the Billboard Awards Icon Award this past Sunday. Janet Jackson, this is the first time she's made an appearance in a long time. She's been very reclusive. And we all know about the debacle with Justin Timberlake, CBS, and Mr. Moons, his perverted self. And how years later, 20 plus years later, she finally gets an apology, a half-ass apology from Justin Timberlake at that. But she presented Mary J. Blige this award. And when she walks on the stage, she's met with standing ovation. The crowd is in awe. And it took her a few minutes to get the crowd under control, like for the crowd together. And they cheered her throughout her whole speech. And to witness her being able to give Mary J. Blige, who's done so much for the music community, we've seen her glow up, to see her present a prestigious award to another black woman It made me happy. Congrats to Mary J. Blige. I remember when she did I'm Not Gonna Cry, I'm Not Gonna Shed No Tears for Waiting to Exhale. She was like, you remind me. That song and Real Love. I'm searching for real love. I'm not going to try to sing like her. I need to be on vocal rest. I'm just honored to see that she won that Icon Award. She is so deserving of this Icon Award. And I'm just happy to see this happen. And I'm fully embracing this moment. I've watched that video over and over and over. And that is my Black excellence. If y'all want something for the segment, that's my Black excellence. But also, I want to add myself into Black excellence. Because your girl has gone viral on TikTok. Yes, I woke up this morning to some inboxes and several tags this morning and notifications. Actress known for her role in 227 as Alexandria, on Moesha as Kim, the Parkers as Kim, known for her singing. Countess Vaughn reposted my impersonation of the late Aretha Franklin, our Queen of Soul, if she sang Weak by SWV. I already had another video of me singing, and this had been posted a while back, but I did an impersonation of Aretha Franklin if she sang Destiny's Child, Say My Name, and that took off, and I'm excited that my hard work has been paying off. I'm just so grateful for the opportunities that are coming forth, and things are finally looking up for me at this time, because as you know, y'all, I have finally found a safe place to live in and preparing some moves. And also, I also recently did an interview with the Queen of Shade herself. So that link will also be posted in my show notes as well. So I'm just grateful for how God is blessing and grateful to be a part of something greater and starting back over where I started in my TikTok career, Instagram career, my social media presence. And it feels so good to be back. It really feels good to be back. I'm grateful and thankful for all of the opportunities that are coming. So I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to go ahead and jump right into Diary of a Church Girl. I don't want to belabor this, but trigger warning, we are talking about things of a sexual nature as well as dealing with abusive situations. So sit back, relax. Here are some church announcements. Live, love, and be free. But not before we enter into our segment, A High Value Woman. Welcome to A High Value Woman, where we discuss all things woman and how to reach us if you can. Welcome to another episode, because I can always edit. On this segment of A High Value Woman, we're talking about self-care. In order for us to maintain our high value, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we as women, particularly Black women, have to sit back and take time to care for ourselves. While we are busy taking care of everybody else, we often forget ourselves and we go lacking. But in order to stay at your high value in your mental health, in your total wellness, and it's not even about a value. High value means that I'm living my best life, but I'm also making sure that every area of my life is up to par with what I need, with where I need to be, and functioning so that I can still be happy. I won't have any restrictions. Taking care of your health and yourself is important. That's why it's important to take care of your mental health. Let go of anything or anybody that is a threat to your mental health, to your well-being, to your peace. And learn how to care for you. Learn how to nurture yourself. You may have to set boundaries. For those of us that are single, so many times we allow career and our business. If for those of us that are entrepreneurs, those that are single, we let dating overrule. Sometimes even for those that may have kids and families, yes, we have family obligations and it is stressful, but sometimes we have to make sure we set aside time to take care of us. And at times we have to do that self-care while we're in the midst of caring for others. But when you care for yourself and focus on you, I don't care if it's after a bad breakup or you just want to take some time for you, spend that time loving on you. Spend that time recognizing what you want out of life. Spend that time evaluating your current situation. And if there's anything that is a hindrance, just cut it off. If there's anything that is a hindrance, just cut it off. That's all that I have for a High Value Woman segment today. Y'all live, love, and free. And if there's a topic that you want to talk about or you want to voice your opinion on a High Value Woman, please hit that mailbag. Live, love, and be free. Smooches. After these messages, we'll be right back. Hey, fam. Pride 2022 is going to be awesome. I want you all to join me on June 4th, 2022 at 1 p.m. for the inaugural Greenbelt Pride Fest. I will be doing music performances, and we also have some dynamic speakers coming. You can join us at the Roosevelt Center Mother and Child Statue at 131 Centerway, Greenbelt, Maryland, 20770. Y'all, we're going to have a great time, and I'm so excited to be working with Greenbelt Voices Rising and the LGBTQ Prince George's Pride Committee. So you don't want to miss this. This is an opportunity, if you're in the Greenbelt, Maryland area or in Maryland and the DMV, to come out and support this community. Let's make this one of the best prides ever. Live, love, and be free. We're jumping back into the show. And welcome back. Trigger warning, as we go into Diary of a Church Girl, I am going to be talking about some explicit nature things and detailing abuse. So I want you all to just be mindful. Timestamps will be in the show notes. So let's dive right in. So we talked a little bit about the church preparing for this relaunch and how I got in, actually basically finally meeting Bishop Poseidon. And at this point, we're getting ready to launch the service. And of course, me being the musician, I'm now the person that is doing praise and worship. Mind you, I used to do praise and worship in the beginning when I would travel back and forth. But then pastor teacher would hire other people to come do praise and worship when I couldn't do it. Or if it didn't flow the way he wanted it to flow. And It was a wild occurrence. However, that Sunday, it was kind of mellow in the beginning. Got up, prepared for service. I had to make sure that someone had made it to their hotel safely and basically running a lot of errands. All the while, I'm like, I need to get ready for service, because at this time, I wasn't yet presenting as myself, the priestess. I was still wearing a suit. So we get to service. We ended up actually being in what they call choir dress, with the surplice, the cassock, and our collars and all of the regalia that you see, which I still have in my closet. So we had to do all this dressing up for the inaugural service, and I was kind of agitated already because some things were out of place and I had to start playing in the service until the musicians got there. So before praise and worship, the musicians come and I'm leading praise and worship. And as I'm singing praise and worship, I had to fight against the sound system. I had to really fight against the sound system. And I remember singing Praise Him and a couple of the traditional hymns. And it was pretty good. It was pretty good. And to have another woman such as myself in the audience really helped a lot. And I noticed that, you know, the church for me was kind of dry. And I pushed. Okay. We made it through service. And it was so that I ended up having to play in place of the musicians to back up the preachers that were there and play till the end of service. Mind you, because we launched, I didn't get paid because, of course, I'm a member. And a lot of churches have this thing whereas if you are a member, you don't get paid for your service. You have to seek employment elsewhere. But I'm like, honey, I'm still doing you a favor. But that's another topic for another day. So we make it through the service. And all I know is when the preachers got up, they said whatever they wanted to say. It was like a tag team and against the bishop and the pastor. They may have had another guest speaker. I don't really remember because I was like, to be honest, I was zooted and booted because I really was not looking forward to the service. I had rolled me a blunt. I'm just being real. I rolled me a blunt and I got my weed on before service, did what I had to do, let it ride out as I went running that morning in between doing errands and went to church. Got there, did praise and worship, as I said, and there was one moment where I'm standing there in service and worship, and pastor teacher looks at me, and I'm like, what are you saying? Like, you could have texted me what you wanted. So I'm like, huh, what are you saying? I said, text me. And he walks out of the pulpit and grabs me by my arm and walks me to the back and says, I don't know what's going on with you, but you need to fix it. I don't know if it's your anxiety, but you need to do something. I told you, you need to be on medication. And I'm like, what is going on? I just simply asked what you were saying, but I couldn't say anything because he took me in the back and one of the other members, I'm going to call this individual the chef, and he and Don Prophet are going to, that I mentioned, are going to play an integral role. And at this point, Don Prophet hadn't yet made it to the church. However, he was advising Pastor Teacher what as to how to carry things out. But because Don Prophet was sick at this time. However, the chef was a good friend of mine from another church that I had done praise and worship at. And we got together, started coming to the church with another one of his friends. And chef and I befriended each other. And he finally got on my leader as well as Bishop Poseidon about how he treated that, how he handled that. And he later apologized to me, but it wasn't really real. You know, it wasn't really real. And that was one reason why I smoked before service, because I knew it was going to be some bullshit when it got down to the wire of it. So we get through service. Service goes good. We make it through. Then we go off to dinner. I was like, cool. I'm like, where are we going? I was hoping it was somewhere nearby. But as usual, it's culture for a lot of church people that after service, they go out to dinner fellowship, get the latest tea in church. You know, they may try to find them a boo, stuff like that. The works, just like any other networking function. And there was all of these big name people there. And Bishop Poseidon had brought his people from Atlanta in Georgia to come. And we were all, some of us was a part of a fellowship, and the jurisdictional person, the one bishop that was over our jurisdiction, he hadn't yet been elevated, but he was getting ready to come be a part. And it was fun. It was a good service. Just, it was the fact, thinking back, I really didn't enjoy the service because of how my pastor totally made me feel as if I was invalid, like I was a piece of dirt and that I could do nothing right. But I told you I had been treated like crap in the previous ministries I've been in, and you saw this. So I'm wondering where's all of this coming from, not realizing this was a repeat cycle to kind of keep me in line. So, of course, again, we go to dinner. We make our way to dinner. And it's like a normal church function. Everybody's gathering around, like I said, spilling tea, talking trash, making jokes, and low-key trying to hook up with people and seeing who's who and sizing people up. You know how church does. So Bishop Poseidon is sitting on the far end of the table. I'm sitting with one of my good Judies, sitting there with another across from another friend of mine, and sitting here with some other people, but I'm closer on the end. I'm sitting on the end on the opposite side of the booth table, but I'm sitting on the end on like the table chair side. So I get my food. We're having a conversation and we're just talking. And like about 30 minutes before, sometime before we left, Bishop Poseidon comes to go to the bathroom, and during service he did something crazy and hurt his knee. And he's like walking by hobbling and all that stuff, being extra. And he goes to the bathroom. On his way back from the bathroom, he comes back and we're sitting at the table eating. And he comes back and he first leans an arm on my table, on my chair rather, and he puts his hand on the chair. And then he's sitting there talking to my pastor, and Bishop Poseidon looks at me and starts talking to me, saying, "Oh, you did a good job on praise and worship. You know, y'all keep up the good work." And he starts talking to someone else, and everyone's paying attention to him, but talking to the other person, and the person he's talking to, that he low-key puts his hand on my shoulder and gently squeezes my shoulder. Mind you, I'm laughing and I keep trying to laugh, but I felt so uncomfortable because I'm like, number one, you're touching me on my shoulder in front of all these people, and I can tell that you're flirting. I'm not gonna do this. And I played it off, and I'm wondering if anybody else caught this. Did my pastor that was sitting in front of me see this? And I left it alone because in my mind at the time, I'm thinking, girl, it was nothing. You know, girl, just let it slide. Don't say nothing because, you know, church folks going to say you starting mess and you don't want a whole bunch of drama. So I let it slide. And the next day, it's Memorial Day. I was supposed to go to work that day, but somehow they end up telling me to go home early because it was very slow that day and we were closing early anyway. So I went home. I called them on my way out of Virginia. I said, "Yo, Bishop, I'm on my way to on my way home from work. Have y'all left for Delaware yet?" He was like, "No, we're gonna leave in about another hour." I said, "Well, I'll be home in about 30 minutes. I said, "I'm just gonna put on some change clothes. My makeup is already done." So by the time I got home, refreshed my makeup, freshed up my hair, got my little Banji girl earrings, you know, giving it what it got, and headed on up to meet them at Pastor Teacher's house. So we get there, and the other lady that was there, she and I were talking, and we're both women of trans experience, of course. So we're talking, kicking and laughing. But when I pull up, I put on some short shorts and a halter top, you know, with some boots that matched what I had in the shirt and some good jewelry. And we hit the road. We go to Delaware. We ride with Bishop Poseidon. And we're kicking and laughing on the road. But I had my vape pen with me. I had my dry herb pen, which I could use as a vape. And I'm sitting there, you know, before I get in the car with them, puffing my stuff, standing outside, puffing on it, so I can ease my mind. So on the road, we're all playing gospel music and singing, having a good time. And we stop at a rest area. Mind you, on this trip, I present as a woman, wholly and fully, giving a little bit of Afro punk, giving a little bit of Grace Jones. And everyone loved what I had on, but I was kind of nervous of being around church people dressed in what I had on. And I'm like, "Is this okay?" They was like, "Child, we hanging out with outside of church, girl. Like, ease up on your dress." So, you know, I calm my nerves and we get in the car, head to Delaware. We finally get to Delaware and we're at my friend's house. And mind you, I'm lit, I'm doing me, enjoying myself, having a few drinks. We're all kicking and laughing. We do karaoke, which I enjoy. We did some oldies and goodies. We played a couple of games, you know, just talked trash. And we finally went back in the house at one point. Mind you, during this time, me and Bishop Poseidon and the other guys are out there. The other bishops are out there. And my friend that was hosting, his significant other, which is my best friend, was there. And we're all out there talking. And it was like, okay, this is cool. You know, I'm enjoying myself. Different couples out there. And mind you, these are all same-sex couples, you know. They talk about church a little bit, but we start dancing. And me, I'm the type of person, I'm going to let my hair down at the right moment. So, baby, they start playing some good music, and they start playing some twerk music. They was playing WAP, and I'm up there on the floor dancing, getting down and dirty, doing a little bit of twerking because I'm grown. And it was a couple of more guys out there. Sister girl was out there, but she was back and forth in the house, chilling with the other people and stuff, chilling with some of the older queer people there. And mind you, with these people, it's known that they're queer, but it's more so they keep their private life private. You don't know who they're dating. You just speculate. That type of thing. But it's a widely known secret, if you get what I mean. So we're in there. We're talking. I'm outside twerking. And Bishop Poseidon is out there with me watching me twerk. I didn't think anything of it at first. But then I'm like, girl, he's the bishop. You might want to ease up on twerking. He was like, I see you, girl, sitting there trying to strut what your mama gave you. Like some old churchy type shit. And we go in the house. Now, sister girl and I, we're both girls, both women. We're sitting on the couch, chilling. I'm nursing a drink after I done ate some more. And here comes Bishop Poseidon. Sister girl is on one end. I'm on the other end. And Bishop Poseidon sits down beside me. And he lays his head on my shoulder and puts his arms around me. But because there was a little bit of space, it wasn't on my thigh. It was like his fingertips touching my thigh. And I thought to myself, what is this Negro doing? Like, is he really doing this in front of the people? And I didn't think anything of it. And it was one of those situations where, is anybody watching this? And I'm looking around the room. Everybody's looking away or down in their phones, not really paying attention. Except for one of my friends. They look up and they look at me with their head down like, girl. And I just sat there and, you know, played it off. And I'm like, I had an array of emotions. I was flattered, but yet the same time, I was uncomfortable because that was my leader. And that was my superior. Mind you, he was like getting us acclimated to him. But in my experience with him, it was cool, but it was some moments. So mind you, at this point, after that, I didn't say anything. We go home and we kiki down the road. I go my separate way. He says, let me know that you made it home. And I make it home. And I take everybody home, of course, on my time. And I go home. Didn't think much over it until like that later on that week, my best friend that was there and I was talking. And he asked, he said, girl, I said, what's up? What's up, fam? And he was like, girl, what's going on with you and the bishop? So what do you mean? He was like, I saw when he put his head on your shoulder. And I was like, that ain't the first time he done flirted with me. He did that Sunday at the service. And my friend is like, girl, what? And we're talking back and forth. He was like, girl, I just want you to be careful. I don't want nobody to hurt you. I'm like, I'm going to be fine. Big sis got this. I said, but it is stirring something up inside of me. But something is telling me not to go along with it because I don't have time to get played. I said, I'm just going to sit back and watch. And if it gets too uncomfortable, I know what to do. I'll report it to my leader. And I left it at that until about a week later, I start getting some messages from him out of the blue. And I'm going to end the episode right here. Y'all stay tuned because I'm going to go into some more details about my experience as a trans woman in ministry. And also, this is explaining what has happened, well, some of the things that have happened in the last several months. So I love y'all. Live, love, and be free. Smooches. Keep smiling.